Attitude. What is your attitude? It's your habitual way of thinking. It's the rut you've gotten into with your thinking. Or it's the positive mindset, the positive habit you've gotten in with your thinking. We have 20 to 60,000 thoughts flowing in through our mind every single day. And that's the good news. The bad news is 90% of them are the same ones we had yesterday, which explains why it's so hard to change. We have got to change our thinking before we can change our life. Your attitude really is your impression or your interpretation of the world around you, which allows two people to witness the same event and give totally different reports about what happened. Okay, to give totally different feedback about, because they interpret it in a different way. They evaluate it in a different way. And that is all learned. Learn to interpret things so it turns to your benefit. The biggest thing that I've learned about attitude, and it took me 7 or 8 years to come to this conclusion, the most important thing with regard to attitude is a word called choice. Decision. In fact, you have got to decide in advance that you're going to have a phenomenal attitude even if you're justified not to. I used to think there were a lot more things that were important with regard to attitude, but the most important part of attitude is that you make a conscious decision outside of the heat of the moment that no matter what, you're going to respond to life's circumstances in a way that moves you toward the person you want to become and the goals that you want to reach. Even if you're justified to blow up. Even if it was their fault. Because the point is, do you want to reach your goals? Yes. Okay? Did they hurt you? Did they violate something? Did they break a promise? Did they not fall? Yes. Well, are you justified in getting upset with them? Yes. Will that accelerate your progress toward your goals? No. It's not useful. It's not practical. They did a study in the early 90s on children, teenagers, who used drugs and those who didn't. Experiment with them as teenagers. They wanted to know, why did some experiment and why did others pass? And so they held constant for all of the sociological factors, for the moral factors. They got children whose parents did about the same thing, earned about the same amount of money, lived in the same type of neighborhoods, went to the same churches. In other words, they tried to get children that had morally and spiritually the same backgrounds, as well as their family backgrounds. And they came with down to one common denominator. The kids who chose not to use drugs made a decision prior to their teenage years that that wasn't for me. They were not morally superior, nor did they think of themselves as morally superior. They simply made a decision outside of the heat of the battle, the heat of the moment, and when they were put on the spot, they didn't have to contemplate it. They had already made a decision. It was a non-issue. And again, they didn't think overly well of themselves. They said, I just decided not to do it. Long ago. It wasn't tonight I decided not to do it. The other kids just didn't give it a thought, and nobody triggered them to give it a thought one way or the other. So again, they went to church. They had the good family background, but they got under a pressure-filled situation, and they had to think about it in those circumstances. So with your attitude, you can't wait till you're in a stressful situation. A positive attitude is a resourceful response in stressful situations. Who in here has mastered having a positive response in positive situations? What's the virtue in that? There's a little. I mean, I guess there are some people we need to disassociate from that are negative in positive situations. But it's the true virtue is being positive and resourceful even when things aren't going well for you. Why? Because you're thinking of the person you want to become and the goals you want to reach. Those two things. What response moves me toward my goals? I don't care about the rest of the stuff, somebody's fault or whatever. Who dropped the ball? What response moves me toward my goals? That's what you go on, and you can program yourself to where that's second nature. Philippians 4:8, my favorite Bible verse. What does it say? It says, finally, brethren. That's like, in summary, folks. Okay? I want to recap. All right, that's what Paul's saying. I want to recap, tell you just everything sort of in the essence. Finally, brethren, whatever is lovely, true, pure, gracious, just, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In some translations it says dwell upon these things. Some translations says meditate on these things. Try the Philippians 4:8 test during your daily life. Do it when you're on the phone, when you're with a prospect, when you're with your child, when you're with your spouse. Is what's coming out of my mouth, does it pass the Philippians 4:8 test? Is it pure, just, excellent, worthy of praise? If not, don't spit it out. Put a little tape recorder next to the kitchen phone. You'll be astounded at what comes out of your mouth that you think is benign. That is a great test to use day to day, over and over and over again. The decision we talked about, if I told you, you're going to be some great news when you get home tonight, and I think there will be, something even greater, and as you were driving away from here, somebody just bumped the back of your car just a little bit. But you knew there was an incredible gift waiting for you when you got home. What would you tend to do about that little bump in the car? Sort of shrug it off because you knew something's greater? Well, when you have really high expectations for something that you're about to have happen, the little things in life just sort of bounce off of you. They just sort of bounce off of you. If you don't have a lot to look forward to, if you're not expecting great things, then even the little things get under your skin. Big expectations. One of the greatest things I did, I mentioned it in my first example, was I started saying, you know, thank you, God, for sending me the woman of my dreams. Well, she wasn't there, but I was building my faith by praying that prayer. I want you to make a list of what you're grateful for in advance. Make a top 12 list. What are the top 12 things that you'd like to be grateful for 3 years from now, 9 years from now, whatever the time frame is? Future blessings. Literally write it out. And then just look at it and give thanks and praise and thanksgiving in advance of the actual goal. It starts to build in your mind that this thing is really going to happen. This is really going to happen. This is really going to happen. And you start building that belief.